Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship him with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and he endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Bible it says, Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. I heard a quote last week, and it goes along with that very well. And it says, when we pray, God hears more than we say, gives more than we ask, and does more than we can imagine. I think when you hear this, what you should do is believe in him as he always has believed in you. Pray for others when they are down in any way, mentally, physically, if they're not in a good situation, pray for them to lift them up. And with that, God bless all of y'all. Let's have a great service. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning and welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this second Sunday in March, which is the first Sunday in Lent. So we have started the Lent season that we will meditate and on the Word of God and spend time in prayer for the next few weeks until Easter. That is what the Lent season is. It started this Wednesday. And we will study the Word of God together during the sermon time. So this is the first Sunday in Lent. And also it is the International Women's Sunday. Yesterday was the World Women's Day. I don't know how many of you knew. Where the global day celebrating the social, economic, and cultural and political achievements of women. We also celebrate the spiritual leaders and the heroes of faith in women, in the Bible and also in history. Particularly the ones like Mary, Sarah, Rebecca, Miriam, Esther, Ruth, Naomi, Deborah, so many of them mentioned in the Bible that sometimes we tend to ignore. Heroes of faith and faithful women who stood strong for their faith. In the recent history, we have Mother Teresa, Susanna Wesley, many others who are examples of strong women of faith. So we honor them today along with all the other women's celebrations that are happening. The regular announcements are on the second page. Those are the regular ones. The cooking class is next Saturday at 10 a.m. I haven't heard from Liliana and...
She's sick. She's not.
Oh, she's sick. She texted me some pictures during the week and they had a good time, looks like. Both of them enjoyed it. So that was very good. They were in Florida, in Miami, enjoying the weather and the drive there. Please keep them in your prayers. So it will be next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Please join for our cooking class. Our third Thursday luncheon will be on Thursday at 20th at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral. Today the daylight savings time has changed. And our budget, if you haven't gotten a copy of it, we have more copies available. Please take one and pray for the ministry of this church. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. We accept our donations and our givings through our website now. You can use many options like debit cards or credit cards. Please use those options if you can, which is very convenient for our accounting system and also for you to keep track of it. Those are my announcements. Anybody have any special announcements? Anything else that you want to mention? If not, let us worship together, God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and Almighty God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us to gather here in this church and also online to worship you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of life and the health and strength that you have given us in our bodies to get up and see a new day, a new beginning in this world. It is all because of your grace and mercy alone that we are alive today, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the eternal salvation that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, lived among us, suffered and died and rose from the dead, so that we can have the power of resurrection and eternity with you. We thank you for the salvation you gave us through him, O God. As we gather here today, O God, we pray that you will bless us with your presence. Touch each and every one of us, Lord, according to our needs. Help us, Lord, to lift up your name in our singing, in our prayers, in the meditation of the word. Everything that we do here, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven, to adore you and worship you. Thank you again, Lord, your mercies and grace every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
I'm going to do this song as a solo with the choir backing her up on the chorus. And so please stand. Ever since we did that, I've enjoyed this song. So please stand and sing with us, "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow."
Tomorrow, I just live.
stand and sing the last line again, one more time. I know it's very hard to read, but sing together and louder. The last stanza.
The last.
The last stanza and the chorus.
The last stanza.
Verse number three.
Number three.
Ready?
To read the scripture now. It's a beautiful song that we just said. We don't know what holds tomorrow, but remember, we know that we are covered by the blood. That's all we need. If you're able, please stand for the responsive reading. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 10, is on page 824.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his God's benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord who works vindication and justice for all who are opposed has made known God's way to Moses, God's act to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord will not always chide nor harbor anger forever.
The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We bring our prayers of blessings and concerns together and share them and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives and also lift up our needs and burdens to the throne of grace of God together, united in faith, trusting in God's promise that He will answer our prayers according to His will. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns. Turn to the last page of the bulletin where we have our regular prayer requests. Please pray for these people and these items. I was told that Sean and Amy Conway, he was discharged from the ICU. So thanks be to God for the progress in that situation. So please pray for that family and for healing. Pray for the family of Wes who passed away, Tiffany and her family, for comfort and peace during this time of grief. And our members Jean and Grace and Harry, Carol, Claudia, Jerry, George, Richard, Jones. Please pray for these people for continued healing. Pray for their caretakers who takes care of them. They need a lot of grace and patience. Pray that God will be with them and give them the patience and the grace that they need to take care of them. Pray for peace for them and their families at this time. Let's remember our service workers, our military, police, fire, and many, many others, the delivery clerks and farmers and laborers and construction workers. A lot of people are working behind the scenes to support us every day. Sometimes we don't remember them, we don't think about them. But every Sunday, I think and pray about all of these people. That's why I try to remind you all. Because without them, we won't be here. So please keep them in our prayers and continue to pray for their families, for their safety. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and our cabinet members and governors of the state that who make decisions on a daily basis that affect our lives. So let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions. And also pray for the world leaders that they will also be guided by the fear of God and the wisdom of God to make the right decisions to bring peace to this world. And pray for our church and pray that we will be faithful in the ministry that God has given us in this community to be a light, a beacon of Jesus' love in this corner that God has given us to do, that we will be faithful in serving this community. Pray for all the churches around us, the pastors, the ministers, and the world church at large, the bishops and the pastors, the missionaries, many, many others who are working in spreading the gospel, the love of Christ around the world. Let's keep them in our prayers. Those are the regular prayer requests that I have. Anybody have any special prayer requests that you want to mention?
I want to mention this prayer. I didn't get the lady's name, but when I was in public last Thursday, a lady came up to me and started telling me that she had just came from the doctor and she had bone cancer.
Oh.
And I witnessed to her, but I forgot. I didn't get her name.
Oh, okay.
But God knows who she is.
Yeah, God knows.
God knows who she is.
We can pray for her.
We pray for her because she said that it wasn't the death that she was afraid of, but the suffering that she was afraid of.
And Wayne had he got your results back.
I'm still waiting for the biopsy. It hasn't come back.
Come back at the biopsy. So for his neck has a little swelling. So please pray for him and the results. And I have some troubles going on. I can hear from my ear, and sometimes I lose my voice, and they can't figure out what's wrong with me. And they tested everything, every part of my body. And they said, the scariest thing, I was telling Norman, you go to a doctor, and then they tell you, never heard of it. That, don't tell me that, even if you don't. So that's where I am. So please pray for me. It may not be a big issue, but I think it is a blessing sometimes not to hear. So please pray for me.
Not for me.
It's the lady here. You don't want to hear you.
She has to yell at me all the time.
See, Ivy, see what you have to look forward to when you get old.
Any other prayer requests?
What did you say?
You know.
And Vicky told me to go and see an eye doctor. I never thought about it. That's a great idea. Your eye problems can also affect your ear. So I'm having an eye doctor appointment tomorrow. So hopefully somebody will figure out. If there are no other special call-outs or prayer requests, let us go to God in prayer. And we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer. And then I'll close with a closing prayer after that. Let us pray. Thank you. Scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but everything, bring your prayers and petitions to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the gift of life, with all its joys and blessings. The many years that you gave us in this world, we thank you for that. Even with the pains and suffering sometimes that we have to go through, you have been with us, leading us every step of the way. And we thank you for the faithfulness of your presence with us. We thank you for, above all, for Jesus Christ, your Son, who came to this world, even when we didn't deserve the eternity with you. We sinned and we were condemned to die. He came and took on our sins and took on the death that we had to take. And he gave us salvation. Because of his death and suffering and resurrection, we are here today worshiping you, O God. We thank you for that. We come before you as your children with our needs and burdens also, Lord. Many of us are worried about many different things. Many of us are sick in our bodies in many different ways. Especially the ones that we have named here. We pray for Sean and Amy Conway and their family. We pray that we thank you for the progress in his health and bless them, Lord, with your grace and peace. We pray for the family of Tiffany as they are grieving. We pray for your peace and comforting presence with them. We pray for the progress in the health of George Richard Jones. Bless him also and his family. We pray for the lady that Miss Lou shared, who had bone cancer. We don't know who she is, but you know who she is. Touch her, Lord, as we pray together. With your healing hand. Above all, we pray for peace for her and her family during this time. And we pray for all those members that we have been praying for, Jean McBrayer and Grace and Harry and Carol, Claudia, Jerry and Miss Lou, and many, many others that we have been remembering in our prayers. Touch them, Lord, with your healing hand. Above all, we pray that you'll give them the peace that they need when they go through this time of difficulty in their lives, that to understand that your presence is there with them, that you will never leave us or forsake us. You will never abandon us or leave us alone. Help us, Lord, to trust in your presence. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, our grocery clerks and farmers and laborers and many, many others that who serve us on a daily basis, serving us behind the scenes. Help us, Lord, to always remember and be thankful for their services. We pray for them and for their safety and for their family's safety. We pray for our nation, our president, the cabinet leaders, the Congress and governors, and many leaders who make decisions. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom to rule them, Lord. Above all, they fear God when they make decisions that will bring good to the people. We pray for the world leaders also, especially as they talk in making peace in the Middle East and also in Ukraine. We pray for your special grace upon them when they talk about these things, that it will not escalate anymore. Rather, you will come to a decision that will bring peace to this world. Bless them, Lord, with your fear in their hearts. And give them the grace and the wisdom. And raise up the right leaders to make the decisions and the discussions. We pray for our church and we thank you for the ministry that you have given us in this community here. Help us to worship you together, Lord. To do the ministry faithfully with the opportunities that you have given us, to serve the people who are needy, who need your love, who need your care and compassion. We pray for all the churches around this community. Bless them with your grace, the pastors and the ministers, and the world church at large, and the missionaries who work in your vineyard in many parts of the world. Bless them with your grace, and give them the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will be faithful witnesses for you in the work that they do. We thank you again for your presence in our midst today, Lord. Help us to worship you together, to glorify your name as we continue the meditation of our Lent. We pray that you will bless us with the power of your word, that we will be empowered by the Spirit of your word and the Holy Spirit, that will be renewed in our faith, in our love, and in our care and compassion every day, to show that to this world. Be with us today in our singing. Help us, Lord, in our meditation of the word and prayers. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. As we pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'll take up the offertory, please. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and we are. You are merciful and gracious that you give us everything from your open hand even before we ask of you. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us as a witness to the love that we have for you. We thank you for those who were able to give joyfully today and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we remain standing, we will read the scripture now, which is taken from the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 10.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you've given us, Lord. As we come before your word, help us to humble ourselves before your word and obey your word. Help us to understand the meaning of the message that we hear today, so that it will apply to our hearts and to be a blessing to this world as we continue to live out our lives in this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we study the Word of God during this Lent season, I wanted to study the prison letters of Paul. While he was in prison in Rome, he wrote 4 letters. Do I want to ask again that? You should remember that. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. 4 letters that Paul wrote. Even when he was in prison, his heart was burdened with the churches. Ephesian church was started by Paul. We read that in the book of Acts, where the start of the church is described in the book of Acts, when we come to chapter 15, 16, 17, and 18, where Paul started his missionary journey to various parts of the world, especially Asia Minor. And he went to Ephesus. Ephesus was part of Rome. Rome was ruling at that time there. Now it is part of Turkey. Let me show you something, because we... my wife and I were able to go to these places where Paul preached in 2023. In Ephesus, we went there. And I'll show you the place that he preached. At that time, it's an amphitheater that was built in 300 BC. And that's where he preached. And there was a big uproar. You read that in Acts 29. Go and Acts 19. And when he started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, there was a big uproar. So he had to be escorted out. So that is where it happened. And let me see if I can show you that what it looks like now. It is still there. It's called, like now. We went around and walked around. Can you move it to the right? Anyway, it can accommodate up to 25,000 people. This was built in 300 BC. And they had big gatherings there. And Paul, a Jewish guy from the Palestine area, Jerusalem area, he actually was from Tarsus, that's what we hear, went over to this Gentile land. They are not Jewish, they were Gentile people. And he started preaching in this big place where thousands of people gather for markets, and sometimes they have concerts and things like that. This is how they look like now. They still have some kind of programs they do there, like annual festivals and parades, but it's not really maintained well. But we were able to walk around all of that and see that. But it's a lot of walking there that we did. It's part of Turkey now. So it reminded me of how Paul was so burdened to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. That's what Jesus said, that you become my witnesses and you will be empowered and you will be witnesses to the ends of the world. And that's what he did. Even though he was not one of the 12, he was called as an apostle. And he said he's the last of the disciples. That was he said. So he went to Ephesus. He took a ship and then he took some other ways to get there. And then he stayed there three and a half years. In Acts 18 and 19 we read that. And then he started the church and a lot of people joined the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they started the church there. And then he went back a second time after he found it. So he spent about 2 to 3 years there when he started that church. And like I told you, Ephesus was not a Jewish place. It was a Gentile place. A lot of people lived there. It was a crossroads of business, a very business city like New York City now. I think many highways met there. So it was a commercial city with a lot of different cultures, nightlife, and Paul was burdened by all the immorality that was going there. So that's when he thought about that things when he was in prison later on and wrote this letter and sent this letter with somebody to that church to encourage them to stay strong in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from Ephesus, Paul went all over the place. He went to Greece, to Corinth, from there to Troas, then Miletus. And then, after years of traveling and preaching and establishing churches, he finally came back to Jerusalem. And there, where the Jews trapped him and wanted to kill him. And then he said, the Romans were ruling at that time. He said, I want a real trial by the Romans because the Romans are the rulers. And he also bought Roman citizenship. So he had two citizenships, Jewish and Roman. Not many people do that, only rich people and high status people, because Paul was Saul before, you know that. And his father was probably his family was well placed. So he had two citizenships, the Roman citizenship and Jewish citizenship. So when he was trapped by the Jews and he was about to be killed, he said, I want to be tried by the Roman government. Mm-hmm. So he was able to escape from the Jewish people, but they took him as a prisoner to Rome. That's how he ended up in Rome, as a prisoner. And you can read all of that stuff in the book of the Acts, how he left Jerusalem and went to Rome. That's how he ended up in Rome in a prison, and they gave him home imprisonment. So he had some freedom to do some stuff, and so he had some friends there, and he also spent time in prayer and writing to these churches where he started these churches and writing letters there. About 13 books in the New Testament, out of the 27, 13 are written by Paul, believed to be written by Paul. And out of those 13, these four letters are written from the prison while he was waiting for his trial. And eventually, he was tried, but he was never tried really, because Emperor Nero, you probably know the story of Nero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He came and the whole country destroyed. And during that time, he believed that it was the Christians who was the reason for his destruction of Rome. So he killed all the Christians. And history thinks that Paul was beheaded along with those murders that Emperor Nero did. And along the same time, maybe Peter was also killed there.
Yeah.
That's what history says. So anyway, that's Paul ended his life in Rome. That's a historical fact. We don't know exactly how he died, but that's what many historians say. So this is what the whole history is. It comes alive when you go and see these places where he preached and where people gathered, and they have some, you know, signs there that say this is where Paul preached and this is where the people gathered around and listened to him. So when he writes these letters, he has all of these things in his mind. As we study this letter also, we have to remember the background of these things. This is the group of people that he's talking to. The big city of New York, like place, where people don't have a lot of religion, and they didn't know the Jesus Christ that Paul is preaching. It's a new stuff that they're hearing. So Paul tries to encourage them to stay in their faith, even though he's not there now, he's in prison. He sends these letters with another person, I believe it was Timothy, who took this letter from Rome to Ephesus to read it to them, to encourage them. And the chapter 1, we talked about that he was telling them to know that who you are, that you are the children of God. First and foremost thing of a child of God is to recognize that you are a child of God.
Amen.
That is the most important thing. Sometimes, many times, we forget the fact. It's not just on Sundays, but on every second of our life, we are a child of God. The song that we sang here today, we don't know about tomorrow, but we know one thing, that we are covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
No matter where we are, we are fully covered by His blood. We are the children of God, protected and covered by the blood of the Lamb. So we need to know who we are. That's what He's teaching in the first chapter. And also in the first chapter, we looked at not only that we ought to know who we are, we also ought to know who God is, right? We need to know who God is. God is a merciful God. God is a powerful and almighty God. He's talking about that also. Not only that, He's a God who does not leave us abandoned or forsaken. He's always there, taking care of us. So we are the children of the living God. Not only that, we have a God who cares for us every moment of our lives. That our life is never, ever without the presence of God in our lives. So now in the second chapter, he's talking about why God loves us so much. Why would He love us? Is there any reason for it? Because God loves us, we are the creation and the handiwork of God. You all know the creation story. God spoke, let there be light, there was light. Mm-hmm. Let there be water, there was water. And let there be this, let there be living things, and let there be this and that. And everything came into being by the word of God. And that's the living God word that I said, I preach. But when it came to the creation of man, humans, mm-hmm. It was a different story that you read there. He created man from the dust of the earth. Am I right?
Amen.
And then what did He do? He didn't say, let life come out of it. He didn't say that.
He breathed
His breath into that earth. So every breath that you and I breathe is the breath of God. Can you believe that as a child of God? You better believe it. We are alive because we are breathing every breath that God has given me. If we are not alive, what's the first thing that you check?
Your breath.
Sometimes she does that to me. I'm just not kidding. Because when I take this medication for the headache, you know that. You go to sleep and you don't know if you're dead or not. So the breath is the breath that God gave us. It's a different creation. No matter what people say, what scientists say or evolutionists say, man is a very different creation. It is not evolved from one of those
No.
Sometimes we act like that, right? We are not.
No.
We are created by God in His own image.
Amen.
And He gave His life. He breathed His breath into me. And as Paul is very clear in telling you that, if you ever doubt the presence of God in your life, and you are a live person, just feel your breath. If you can feel your breath, that means God's presence is there with you.
Yes.
That is there. No matter where you are, you may be in the operation theater. You may be waiting for a test result in the doctor's office. Or you may be in an accident without anybody to help you. Maybe you may be afraid. Don't know what happens tomorrow. But remember, and you probably think that there is nobody to help you around and abandoned by everybody, even families and friends. But remember, if you can feel your breath, you know who is there.
Yes.
God's presence is there. But even when you are not able to feel your breath, you may not have conscience. You may be in the hospital bed, God's presence is still there until you leave this world. Then when you leave this world as a child of God, you know what Paul says? To leave this body is to be with the Lord. So that's what Paul says and reminds them, even when you are here in this world, you are with God every moment of your life, as long as you breathe. And once your breath is taken and your life is gone, and I'm going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
As a child of God, there is no life for you in this world or in eternity without God's presence. That's what Paul is teaching them. A new teaching that they are hearing now. So here he's saying that God loves us so much because he made that kind of creation as a special creation as human beings like you and me. Every unique. We are all unique. Not one person in history of the billions and trillions of people who lived and will live will be like me.
Amen.
Even my closest twin brother, if I have one, will not be like me. His fingerprint will be different. His retina will be different. Every aspect of that person will be different. God loves you and me so much that he values us so much. That is why he decided to save us from our sins and restore us back to himself, even though we abandoned him. We disobeyed him. Imagine standing on the side of a deep canyon with no way to cross because the sin divided us. I don't have to go through all that things that happened in the Garden of Eden. Because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, there was a big gap of sin came between the holy God and the sinful man.
Amen.
And there has to be a reconciliation between that. God could have abandoned us. Because he breathed his breath into us, he did not abandon us.
Amen.
He values us and he wanted to build that bridge back. So he knew that we could not do it. Because we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what we read there. We are completely dead. And then God sent his son to take upon that death on himself. The salvation of Christ is the bridge that closed the gap. Through his sacrifice, Jesus connected humanity to God, effectively closing the separation caused by sin. Why Christ? Why Christ? That is what he's explaining there. Why not another Moses? Or why not one of the prophets?
All right.
He could have sent a human being another than coming, sending Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Because in order to take on our sins, there has to be a sinless person. Mm-hmm. You have some debts to pay, right? You don't go to a broke guy and ask him for help, do you? Nope. He'll never get you any help. You go to a rich guy. So you are debtors of sin and you need deliverance from your sin. You have to go to a person who is sinless. And the only person in history that has no sin is Jesus himself.
Yes.
The sinless Lamb of God. That's what Baptist John said.
Yes.
Here comes the sinless Lamb of God. He never sinned. He is the only one who can pay for our sins and take on our death. And that is what Paul is teaching them. You have to listen. It is not about having to achieve your salvation by your works or going to this person, that person. There's a big temple there next to this big auditorium there. There's a big temple called the Temple of Artemis. We went and visited too. People from all over the world come there every year to celebrate the goddess of Artemis. Thousands of people gather. They think that is where they get their salvation from. But no, they cannot, because these are all mythical characters. They are not real. But here is a real character, mm-hmm, who lived in this world, who came here, lived among us as human beings. But he was not like us because he was sinless. And everything else he suffered just like us. And he is the only one who can pay for our sins. Because he is the only one who is qualified and righteous to take upon the sins of the world. So then Paul says that you are dead in your transgressions and sins. It's a powerful metaphor that he's talking about the spiritual death. Just as a dead person cannot respond, move or breathe, we were spiritually dead, unable to save ourselves, even to the point that we have to have a Savior. And that's why God sent his own Son to this world to deliver us from and bridge that gap between him and us. Paul continues to describe how we once lived according to the ways of the world. We were separated because of the world. I mean, Adam and Eve were put in a great garden and they were given everything that they needed. They did not really lack anything, did they? They had the food, they had all the blessings that they needed, and God had his presence every day with them. And why did they disobey God? Why did they disobey God? And Paul is continuing to teach them about these things. He said, they followed the ways of the world. It says in verse 2, which is right there, just like we follow the ways of the world. It is not because of any need or necessity that we disobey God. Sometimes people do certain things out of necessity and need. When you get free, you don't have food for your children, or you get in a desperate situation, some people steal, things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we have mercy on those people. It's not right, but at the same time, we have to be gracious. But Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God and ate from that tree, not because they were hungry, do you think?
No,
they were not hungry. They followed the ways of the world. And it says in 1 John, John writes it about really well, that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 16 says, that for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. The cause of sin is the lust of the flesh. You know what they did? Eve went on an evening walk without Adam. They were supposed to be together all the time, right?
Yeah, where was he at?
Right?
Where was Adam?
And Eve thought that it's a good idea to take an evening stroll out in the garden to see, hey, what is out there? That was one of the things. And then the devil came in the form of a serpent. These are all symbolic. This came of a serpent. When unusual things come to you, these are temptations. And these are the lust of the flesh you're talking about. And the devil came in the form of a serpent. That is very unique. I mean, if it came in the form of a human being, I can understand. Right?
Right.
A human being can speak and talk. But when you go out in the parking lot, there's a snake that stands up and say and talking to you like a human being, would you respond or you run?
I run.
That's weird. Right? I would not talk. I would call 911. But Eve stopped and entertained it. Normally, I would think that she would at least call Adam and say, hey, here's something weird happening. Never seen this before. Here's a serpent, some weird creature talking to me. But she started talking to her. That's what John is explaining in his letter to another church. And he's talking about the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh. And then the devil started some conversation. Once you get into conversation with the devil, you are trapped. The best thing to get out of temptation is not to start the conversation. Stop it and leave. And then the lust of the eyes. The devil showed Eve the apple. And it was very beautiful to look at. It says in the Bible, it was beautiful to look at. Our temptations come through the eyes. And then the devil told them, God really say that you should not eat this from this the fruit of this tree? Yes, yeah, the God told us and we cannot do that. But then the devil told her, she still continued to talk. and told her that, no, that's not true. If you eat from this tree, you will never die. You will be like God. Mm-hmm. That is the pride of life. So the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life that John talks about happened in the Garden of Eden. Not because of any desperate need of hunger, that they had everything that they needed in the Garden of Eden. But they disobeyed God because of the ways of the world. And that is what happened to humanity after that. Sin came and destroyed the holy and righteous relationship that we had with God was broken. And there was a big gap between us, that the only one who can fill that gap is God himself, who came and came to this world as God. And he bridged the gap through Jesus Christ. And when you've come to the Lent, we have to connect these two. Adam and Eve were tested in the Garden of Eden by the devil. When Jesus came, and Bible talks, and Paul teaches that also, Jesus is the last Adam.
Yes.
And in one of the letters, Paul calls Jesus the second Adam or the last Adam. The first Adam sinned, and he was, and the devil won. And the second Adam, or the last Adam, Jesus Christ, also was tempted. When was he tempted? That's what the Lent season that we do that now. He was taken for a fasting in the desert for 40 days. Mm-hmm. And the devil tempted him.
Yeah.
And that's the importance of connecting the Garden of Eden. One was the Garden of Eden with all the blessings and plenty. And here's the second Adam, or the last Adam, in the wilderness with nothing. No food, no water, all the issues and the burdens of this world tempting him. And the devil comes there.
He never
leave you alone.
He comes to
Jesus during the fasting time. Jesus was about to do his ministry. And he went to pray in this wilderness, and the devil shows up. And a couple of days passed, and he was fasting, and the devil knew first thing that you can attack, if you're like me, show me some bread. And he said, I know you're hungry, and you know you're hungry. Turn these rocks into bread. You are God. You know you're God. Turn these rocks into bread, and you eat them. And Jesus did not fail there. Jesus asked, it was not about the hunger that the devil was trying to do. Actually, he was trying to stop the ministry of Jesus right there. If Jesus had failed that test, his ministry would have been stopped right there. That's what the devil was trying to do. So what did Jesus do? He used the word of God, the bread. And he said, man does not live by
bread
alone. But by the word of God. That's what he said. So he defended, and he won victory over devil. That was the lust of the flesh. The Adam was defeated. Jesus won victory over the lust of the flesh. Then the devil took Jesus to a big mountain. And he showed all the kingdoms of the world from that mountain. He could see the big towers and buildings and kingdoms. And he said, all these kingdoms will be yours if you just bow down before me.
Yeah.
That means, any similarity there with Eve? The lust of the eye. Mm-hmm. He showed him, hey, this is all can be yours. And it's beautiful to look at. You can earn a lot of these things, the lust of the eye. And tempted him with all the kingdoms of the world. And also he tried to tell them that the lust of the eye is not always necessarily, a lot of times we think that it is just sexual, and lust can be anything. That takes away the desire of your heart from God and
Amen.
Put your desire in
Amen.
Something else. It can be your money. It can be your children. It can be your family. It can be anything. Sometimes people are in lust with their cars.
Yeah, that was what I was
going
to say, automobiles.
Automobile. Anything that comes before God, that's what lust is. And Jesus won victory over there too. Because Jesus knew the devil didn't want any of these things. How can the devil tell you, oh, if you bow down before me, I will give you all of these things. Even he doesn't own these things. Jesus knew better. He knew better. He said, no. So he won over victory over the lust of his eye also. And then the devil took him over to a big tower. And he said, well, you are defending me with the word of God. Every time I tell you something, you quote the word and defending me. Now he started quoting scripture back to Jesus.
Yeah,
that's what the devil does. The devil knows scripture, you know that.
Yes, he
does. He does. Sometimes you get confused. Anyway, he took him to a big tower and he said, if you are the Son of God, jump over. Because it's written in Psalm 91, you read that.
Yeah.
That if you jump over, God will command his angels to hand him. And they will lift you up in their hands. Mm-hmm. Show me that. And now he is quoting scripture. The devil is quoting scripture and thinking that Jesus will not probably, you know, will probably fail on this one. Because he has scripture with him.
Yeah.
But that is when Jesus said, away with you, devil. Sorry, sir. Away with you, devil. It is written that you shall not test the Lord your God. That's when the devil left him. There is a place when temptations come. Away with you, devil. You shall not test a child of God. We have to be strong. That is why Jesus Christ is the right person. So do you see the similarity what happened between the Garden of Eden and the temptations? And the wilderness garden, I call it, where the second Adam or the last Adam that Paul calls and teaches them, and Jesus Christ, the last Adam, won victory over all these temptations that the devil brought and bring eternity and victory over death and sin. So that is why the Lent season that we remember the fasting and prayer of Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we were lost like a drowning man, unable to save himself.
Amen.
The good news to us that God did not leave us in that condition, just like he did not leave Adam and Eve without hope. If you're drowning in a lake or a water, somebody threw you a rope to hang on to, and it is the grace of that person. It is not because of who you are.
Right.
I don't know you. It is because the gracious person came and tried to help you and threw a rope or something to help you out. And that is the grace of God, sending Jesus to this world as a rope for you to hang on to. And we read that in the bulletin. We read that by saved by grace through faith. And the faith is the willingness for you to grab onto that rope. You can deny it, you can decline it. God has sent you a rope, the salvation, the path to the eternity, and asking you to accept it. And the grace of God is available to every one of us today, if we are willing to accept it. Jesus is the rope and the bridge that came, as long as we accept him. Grace is the rescuer's willingness to save you, even though you don't deserve it. You cannot reach the shore without grabbing onto that rope that he sent to you. The Bible describes us as spiritually dead in sin. We were not just struggling, we were lifeless, incapable of saving ourselves. Only the one who overcame and won victory over death can give us that resurrection. And it's not on our merits. It's only because of his grace. And we don't have to do anything other than accepting that with our faith. Many times we try to build our own ways of salvation.
Yeah.
We'll try to build our own bridges, but nothing will work, because we are all like Adam in the Garden of Eden. We go on our world, the ways of this world, but there is the only one who can give us that victory over sin is the one who came and won victory over devil. During this Lent season, as we continue this study, let us have that power of the victory that Jesus won over the devil, over sin, over death, that we are victorious people. No matter where we are still children of God.
Yes,
may the good Lord bless us with these words and help us to lead a victorious life every day as we live out our lives in this world. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is Amazing Grace, 378. If you are able, please stand. We'll sing 1, 2, 3, and 6. God, we have been saved from our sins, just like we sang today. A wretch like me has been saved by the grace of God, not because of my merit, only because of God's grace. The same grace is available to all of us who call upon God. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.